What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row!
Well, that depends on what time, how long it takes you to post this, but still.
Less than 3 weeks between podcasts! And welcome to this episode of Fanning the Flames. Your one and only, not really,
no.
One of seven, at least.
One of at least.
At least seven. Phoenix Suns podcast that is made for the fans. That's you guys, by the fans. That is us.
As well as all the other podcasters.
All of them.
All of them.
All by the fans, for the fans.
Yes.
As always, intro and outro music is brought to you by Oceans Over
Brock
Airplanes.
Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar, the beast. The beast.
The beast.
Check them out over on oceansoverairplanes.com. We've gone on tangents quicker than ever.
This is going to be fun.
Wow. Get ready. Strap in, folks.
Hopefully we can keep those tangents on basketball.
Unlikely. Very unlikely. Give us a follow or hit us on Twitter. I'm at So Says J Paul.
At Dervish of World.
And the pod is at FanTheFlamesNBA. If you listen on iTunes or any other platform, rate and review. And in addition to iTunes, we are on Stitcher and Google Play.
And if you listen on another platform, you're looking for us on another platform, we're not there, let us know. We'll figure out how to get ourselves on there.
I like how Hopefully. Paul says, we will figure out how to get ourselves
yes,
on there.
Justin will figure
basically
out.
Basically means I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I just
Thank
shot,
you.
I just shot Paul the death stare. Okay. So, Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do this anymore since we're actually doing this. Like,
I know, it's been a while.
Since we've done like consecutive podcasts. What do we talk about?
Well,
I'm kidding. You don't worry, Paul. I got you.
I don't know. You said you hadn't really written anything down, so.
I have very little written. I have literally nothing written down.
Yeah.
But I have stuff typed.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey.
See what I did there? So, yeah. Let's start with. We're going to talk the Spurs game a little bit.
Very little.
Yet another buzzer beater loss by the Suns. Yet another. But at least we didn't have a quarter or quarters from hell. That was good.
Yeah, that was it was nice to have a consistent game.
Consistent-ish. Yes. So we'll talk that and we're going to talk a lot about trades. We're going to talk a lot about trades, I feel, because the only stuff I have is Spurs game and trades.
Yeah.
So,
we better. Yeah, well, I mean, we're coming up on the trade deadline. It's next week. You know, are the Suns going to do anything? Things are happening in the NBA sphere. Could they affect the Suns? If they do affect the Suns, will it be good or bad? Probably bad.
Podcast of optimism, Paul.
That's you.
What?
I'm the pessimist.
You're the one who said we were going to get Kevin Durant.
Minor lapse in judgment.
Fair enough. Okay.
Still possible. And we'll get into that.
Anything is possible. We're going to get into Kevin Durant? Oh, look at this guy. This guy's he's got thoughts. He's got thoughts. He's got ideas, and I love all of them, even though I haven't heard them yet. So, okay. So, Suns game, Spurs game.
Spurs game, yeah.
You want to talk about? What do you want
to
talk about?
Well, to be honest, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was in Grand Junction, Colorado this week, so I followed along on Gamecast
was
the best
that
I could do.
Better or worse than Boise, Idaho?
Worse.
Okay.
Boise's actually a pretty cool town.
Oh.
Except it was cold.
Well, yeah.
Grand Junction, it was 19 this morning. I mean, it's no Chicago with negative 27 or whatever the hell it is.
19 what? I don't get that.
Degrees.
Oh. I did get that. That was facetious because I've lived in Phoenix and San Diego and Tucson. So.
Have you ever experienced 19 degrees?
Yes.
It's cold.
I probably blocked it from my memory because that sounds.
Have you experienced negative?
No, for sure not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Why
cold.
Would people do that? Why would people... Why? Why?
A What's lot of people live in Chicago.
Why?
I don't know.
My parents moved from Chicago. They're like, we're never fucking going back. The place is miserable.
My parents lived in Chicago, too.
What do they say?
They left because they thought it was racist.
Okay. I don't know how to respond to that. Suns.
Yeah.
So, Spurs game.
Spurs game.
Paul did not watch from Grand Junction, Colorado.
But I did see the clip from Popovich after the game. I mean, arguably, more of that, his comments were directed at his own team in that he thought they played a bad game. But it was very interesting to see him say that the Suns deserved to win and should have won that game. That he thought they played a pretty good game. They were the ones who were being aggressive through the whole thing. I mean, granted, the Spurs were without DeMar DeRozan, so that would have changed the calculus of that game if he was in. But seeing the Suns try hard and actually getting recognition for it was nice. I'd like to see more of that.
And in case anybody out there, if you listen to our podcast, you probably heard the quote, but what Pop said was, quote, "To begin the game, I thought they outplayed us and outcoached us, out-physicaled us, out-executed us, and we had no respect for them or the game. We didn't play with each other, and it was a pathetic performance. Phoenix got robbed." End quote. I take two things away from that quote. First one, and I'll address this first because if you follow me on Twitter, you know it's my favorite subject to discuss in the NBA.
What, hitting the Spurs?
The refs.
Oh, the refs, yes.
The refs. Because there was a pivotal moment.
You have a hot key for at official NBA refs.
And I will say that I have also DM'd them multiple times and they have not responded once. And okay, let's you know what? Let's talk about my DMs to at official NBA referees.
Be careful here. You don't want to get arrested.
Well, if I was going to be arrested, I feel like it would have happened by now. One DM is, "Why does this account exist? Fans ask for explanations, get nothing, no response." I then followed up, "Seems like a fair question. That should have been a simple answer, no response." Then a couple weeks later, oh no, same day, said, "So is it fair to say you admit that Brent Barnacki is involved in game fixing and the NBA acknowledges it and just lets it happen, just like Tim Donaghy? I will take your silence as an admission." No response, so the answer is yes then, clearly, right?
Clearly.
Then apparently I got back on my high horse about 4 weeks later and said, "Be honest, you guys even think Kevin Scott sucks, right? Off the record, please, again, be honest." No response. I don't see why. Why do they exist? Why do they exist? Why does that account exist?
To answer nice questions.
I'll send a nice question next time.
To answer.
Maybe next time I'll be like, what a fantastic
intelligently
head.
Thought out.
I feel like you go back and watch those games. Those are all very intelligently thought out, okay? Okay? In fact, Roth was there with me at one of those games, I feel, because, no, that can't be right. No, because it was right around the new year when we went to those games, so.
So it would have been the one probably I wasn't at?
Yeah. That would seem to be it. Although, I was at one of the games. Because Tony's with me.
Yeah.
And I was, see, and he goes, "Do you just have, like, in your phone a roster of the NBA referees and who they are based on number?" I'm like, no, but maybe I do. Maybe I do. Anyway, back to my original point, and that is that when Pop says Phoenix got robbed, there was a pivotal play down the stretch where Booker got called for a charge at midcourt where a dude clearly stepped under him.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, was probably something that Booker could have, and knowing him, perhaps should have, gotten super fired up about because it was, you know, a borderline questionable play. Like, somebody can get hurt on that kind of play, and he got a foul called on him.
Yeah, that's always the fun one when...
Right, and that kind
of... You could have gotten hurt on the play.
And then it's on you.
Then it's on you. Yeah.
Especially at mid-court. It was on an outlet pass. It was an outlet pass. So I think that's what he was referring to in terms of they got robbed because that really turned the momentum of the game.
Right.
The other thing that I think is interesting, and I frankly didn't think about this until I just read this quote, he says, "and out-coached us." People have questioned Igor a lot this year.
Well, I think that's...
Let me finish. And I think that's because we had high hopes. But for Pop to admit that he was outcoached in any part of the game by Igor, a first-year head coach, that has to give Suns fans a little bit of, how do I say this, optimism?
Dare you say it?
Dare I? Because I feel like maybe this being the podcast of optimism, it would make sense for me to say. But anyway.
You digress.
Hyperbole aside.
Which is what
I think that's a very, very positive thing to take out of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pop being his kind of salty self, but he's always, whenever he does that kind of thing.
He's loquacious.
Yes, that's a great word. It's a great word. There's always truth behind what he's doing. He's never been like, oh, you know, we played terrible and blah, 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 and didn't mean it, you know?
Right.
He comes across as brash and kind of dickish, but there's truth behind it. And on any level, when you're like saying that you are basically out-coaching who is quite possibly the best coach in NBA history.
Yeah.
For any portion of the game whatsoever, and he admits it, I think that's great. But go on. You like Pop. I want to hear this.
Well, I mean, I know you don't.
I know.
Just like you like the Patriots, and I don't.
False. I do not like the Patriots.
You tolerate them.
I respect them.
See, I don't.
Go on.
But.
Because we're getting into this. Let's do this. Go. You go. Why do you respect Pop? No, you said you like Pop.
I like
him more than I respect him.
Okay. I think I like him personally as a person. I mean, not to get too much into politics, but I think I like how he speaks out.
I knew you were doing that, but go on.
But I like the way he speaks out. He's very intelligent and has a point of view that's not just like, oh, what's going on sucks. He has a point, and he gets it across very well. But from a basketball perspective, it's very much been since the Suns have been less than good for the last.
And you say you're a pessimist.
I couch things.
Go on.
But since the Suns have been less than good over the last
8 years,
almost a decade. Because there isn't that direct competition, and I'm not dealing with the Spurs literally like stomping on our necks year after year after year and like crushing our hopes of finally getting that championship, because the Suns are in a situation where them winning a championship isn't really a possibility. I'm able to watch the Spurs as a basketball team, and not just as a rival. And it's just been very impressive to me to watch him continuously evolve as a coach and evolve the team's playing style based on the personnel he has. You know, Tim Duncan started to slow down, but they got Kawhi Leonard in there, and they adjusted the style. They actually started to go faster once Tim Duncan started to slow down. That he really, like, turned it over to, like, Manu and Tony and Kawhi, and just like, hey, get this thing down the court and get it in the basket. And then shifted again when the personnel changed. Now that he's got DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, like, he's actually kind of leaning into the skid that these guys are really good mid-range shooters, which is not the traditional or not the current in vogue in the NBA. But he's making it work, and he makes it work, and that's always been impressive to me.
Isn't that the same thing that Bill Belichick does, though?
Yes. It's a personal thing why I hate the Patriots. It has nothing to do with how good they are on the field. I just hate them.
Okay. But it's different. But hold on. We're talking about two different things here then.
Yes.
Because you said you like Popovich.
Yes.
But you hate the Patriots. Yes. How do you feel about Belichick?
I respect him as a coach. I don't really like him as a person.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know where you're coming from with that. Go on.
Honestly, I think that the thing about the Patriots, beyond the fact that similarly as a San Diego Chargers fan.
Slash LA Chargers. No.
Well, yeah, because including this year, the Patriots have pulled similar to what the Spurs had done to the Suns in the past, repeatedly knocked them out of the playoffs when they were in positions to potentially like win, when they like had actually had really good teams. And
I will say, the Suns, the last two times the Suns played the Spurs in the playoffs, they knocked them out.
Which was fun, because
I kind of remember that. Well, neither of my kids were born. No, actually, one of them was, but still.
But I think really the thing that gets me about the Patriots is I can't stand Boston fans anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
And that arrogance that they have, which comes a little bit from the Patriots as a team, whereas the Spurs, they don't really act arrogant as a team. They're just like, we're here to do a job, we do it like a machine, and we just get out, but we win. The Patriots, they kind of do the same thing, but they're also like, we're better than you. And that is translated to Boston fans. And I used to like Boston fans because they were like scrappy underdogs. They're not anymore. They're worse than Yankee fans. Because as a city, from a sports perspective, they've won 2 GD much in the last 15 years.
He just said GD. Okay. We're going to get off the subject. Let me put in my 2 cents. Okay. Popovich.
Yes. Has a very good beard.
He does. Let me say this. I would, if I had to choose who I want to sit down and have one or two or eight beers with, I would pick Pop.
Over Belichick?
Yes.
Okay.
Not just like in general. No, he'd be like far down my list. But we went through all those years where Popovich had Bruce Bowen on his team, who I think is probably the dirtiest player in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He had Manu Ginobili, who was the biggest flopper in the history of the NBA. And at no point did he ever have any issue with any of it. Now, this is going to be a terrible comparison, but at least when Aaron Hernandez got indicted for murder, they cut him.
But Belichick purposely himself cheated. He didn't just let his players do shit.
He told his coaches to do it. But they took their shit for it. I feel like Popovich has run this dirty program with these dirty players for all these years and just reaps the benefits from
it. Outside of Bruce Bowen, name another dirty player on the Spurs.
Manu Ginobili. He headbutted Steve Nash. Robert Horry, he hip-checked Steve Nash. Okay, Robert Horry. Do you want me to keep going?
Okay, Robert Horry. I remember that one. I don't remember the headbutt.
Remember when he got, like, gashed open and his nose was bleeding and they were trying to...
I thought that was Tony Parker.
Whoever it was. I'm going to go with Mount. It might have been Tony Parker. That would make more sense.
But I think that was also... It also appeared to be accidental.
Appeared to be. Right, exactly. They got nothing for it. At least Belichick has cheated and they've gotten their medicine.
And then cheated again.
And they do it again. Fine. You know what? If you're going to be a bad guy, admit you're a bad guy.
So be Hans Gruber?
Be Hans Gruber. So that's why. That's why. And I think that, well, this also comes to play. I feel like in the NFL compared to the NBA, there's a lot more that goes into coaching. Name the last great running back that the Patriots had.
Oh, I mean, the way the Patriots, like, run their staff, outside of Brady and Gronk.
And like, somehow they managed to make, like,
every
seven-yard passes work incredibly well.
And they make white guys look good as wide receivers.
Yeah. It's like,
Nobody else could do that.
It's almost like Belichick's like, I only want white slot receivers. That's all I want. Anything else on the Spurs game, Paul?
Do we want to talk about the Super Bowl at all since we start talking about the Patriots?
Welcome to the new Fanning the Flames NFL podcast. Seriously, anything else on the Spurs game?
Not at all.
I will say, Spurs game, How about the performance by Mikal Bridges and Devin Booker that night? I mean, Booker, you know.
Booker did Booker
things. We expected, but I mean, 14 for 19 is still freaking impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been the most efficient this year. He's putting up counting stats, but it's nice to see when he starts putting up, like, efficient stats.
It's hard to be efficient when, like, 80% of the workload is on you.
Yeah.
And I think with Mikal Bridges, you know, 7 for 9, 17 points, 4 steals. Need I say more? That's exactly what we expected. That's even more than what we expected to get out of him. And, you know, he went 3 for 5 from deep, too. We've been waiting for him to really start getting that stroke. So, right. You know, hopefully things start clicking for him. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it's been said a time or two. The Suns need a point guard. A
little bit. Lot bit.
So, how are we going to get that point guard, Paul? Is it going to be a trade?
Maybe.
Oh, speaking of trades, how about Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, that was quick.
Getting traded today.
Yeah, that was...
That developed rapidly.
You barely even had time. Didn't even have time to write up pieces on, oh, here are the best options of where you can go.
In the words of Ron Burgundy, that escalated quickly.
Methinks that the whole story that came out via Woj about the meeting and coming out of the meeting thinking he doesn't want to be here and he, like, possibly would be interested in a trade was a ruse.
Yeah.
Methinks this has been in the works for a bit.
Yeah.
And the Knicks tried to save face and made up this shit and told it to Woj. Not that it didn't happen, but it might have just been like, okay, we've been kind of doing this thing. We had this meeting. We have it lined up. We just want to see where his head's at. They gathered his head is not in New York. Boom.
I forgot he was in the league.
Well, because he's been out.
All right. So let's recap really quickly. The trade is Porzingis is going to Dallas. That part, I did
Courtney
not.
Courtney Lee. And Hardaway? Tim Hardaway Jr., yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of cash went to Dallas.
And coming back is Dennis Smith Jr. So there's one point guard that was available that is no longer available.
Right.
DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and two future first-round picks, which, Paul, if you're so inclined, you can explain now because you tried to explain it to me earlier and I got completely lost.
It is a bit confusing. So on paper, the picks that
2 minutes or less, please.
Three. I need three.
2:30.
Okay.
Go.
On paper, the picks that were conveyed were the 2021 unprotected and the 2023, I believe, top 10 protected. But because in the Luka Doncic trade, Dallas traded their first round pick for 2019 to the Atlanta Hawks, top 5 protected. If Dallas maintains that pick in 2019, it rolls over to 2020, which means the picks that were traded to New York also roll over a year each because you cannot trade picks in consecutive years. Boom, under a minute.
That was great. I'm happy you did it that quickly because I stopped listening after about 12 seconds.
Because it's complicated.
And I don't really care.
No.
And I'm guessing most people listening don't either. So,
because you're talking about picks in 2021.
Let's ask this question then.
I feel like they could have gotten a better deal.
Did who?
New York. They got shit for arguably a top 25 player in the league if healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
well. What's the kicker, Paul? How much cap space do they have?
They have a shit ton of cap space now. But still, they probably could have done that and made it look like they could have gotten something legit for him. Like they could have gone to another team with cap space or like 1 year deals, like the Suns could have been if they hadn't made some moves, some releases, like the dead money that is on the books, all the dead money that the Suns have on the books.
Is that it?
Yeah.
But I mean, they're getting which of those guys that they got back are expiring? I mean, DeAndre Jordan is, which is a huge contract.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know if Wes Matthews
is. Yes, he is. Okay. The entire deal is, like, I wouldn't be surprised if both those guys are waived, like, immediately.
So they freed up cap space.
They freed up
so
cap space.
This offseason,
they're going to have $76 million, I think, roughly, is I think the number out there in available cap space, which is under current CBA numbers and room for two max slots. So it's like they're gambling. That's a huge gamble, and you wonder if there's some like wink wink stuff going on, because there's been that talk that Durant wants a different challenge. He's like he went to Golden State.
He wants a different challenge or an actual challenge?
An actual challenge. He went to Golden State. He got his championships. That's out of the way. Now he wants to. But the unintended consequence of that is his Q rating in the NBA has dipped a lot because he looks like he's a bandwagon jumper.
Hmm?
And I think he wants to change the narrative about himself
good.
A little bit.
Good for him.
So he wants to go somewhere to, bring that, take that knowledge, similar to LeBron when he went back to Cleveland, is like take that knowledge of,
he went back to Cleveland where, he went back to Cleveland then demanded they get him more pieces.
Right. But that's just how LeBron works, and that's what he's doing in LA. And we'll get to that.
We certainly will.
Because he did the same thing in Miami.
What?
And just as he gets more power.
Anyway,
because we're going to get into it. But because it's kind of unavoidable. But he wants a different challenge. And the idea of, like, people speculate that the idea of him going to New York, going to the Knicks, and bringing them back to relevance and ideally getting them to the finals and hopefully winning a championship, that New York hasn't done since, I think, 73 with Phil Jackson. So there's that speculation and rumor out there that that's possible. And on top of that, there has been some very obvious discontent on the part of one Monsieur Kyrie Irving up just this quick jaunt north from New York to the lovely town of Boston.
Can I point out that me being a guy who's never not only lived on the East Coast but ever been out there, I had no idea that Boston was north of New York. No clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what's where over there. But finish quickly, okay, because
funny story.
Oh God.
No, you are gonna laugh. I don't think you're gonna laugh as hard as I did last time.
I doubt it. I don't think anybody ever will in the history of mankind, but go on.
So a couple years ago, I was working on my laptop at home. It was like 6 o'clock at night. And one of my coworkers, this girl I met at training up in Minneapolis, which is kind of where our headquarters is, she was based in Chicago. And she's like, "What are you doing on so late?" And I'm like, "It's 6 o'clock. What are you talking about?" And she's like, "I thought Arizona was, it was like way later in Arizona right now." I'm like, "Where do you think
Chicago?"
Well, that's bad. That's where do you think worse. Arizona is? And she's like, "East of Texas?"
That's not funny. That's just sad. I feel like it's
this is your current company? Yeah.
Don't ever mention their name because that's
she doesn't work for us anymore.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Quick trivia question for you.
Shoot.
Name the last New York Knick who was drafted by the team and signed a contract after their rookie contract.
I know the answer to this. I learned this today.
Did you listen to Gambo and Ash today?
I did not listen to Gambo and Ash, but I saw it elsewhere.
Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo.
Wow. I still say that.
But I think it's, I don't think that's exactly accurate. I think it's the first draft pick to sign more than one contract with them. Like, sign a recent... No, it's just a off-the-rookie-deal extension. Oh, wow. Yes, yeah, I was trying to give them some credit that it was like, okay, you got a player.
Answer the question, Paul.
Charlie Ward, right?
Yes. You didn't learn that today. Yeah.
We were 13 when he was drafted, maybe?
No. 12.
He was 92, 93?
Well, I was 12. Yeah. 94. So, think about that. That's 20, almost 25 years. That's insane. That's insane. Okay. Now, let's step back. Like, literally 7 minutes outside of all this New York Knicks talk and Boston and everything else. You mentioned something about how if the Suns didn't make certain moves, they could have had that cap space, those contracts, to move to New York and Porzingis. Let's say in this hypothetical world of ours, that was an option. We still had those contracts. Would you have wanted to trade for Porzingis?
I don't know. I mean, because we have... Like, when there was the option to trade for Porzingis 2 years ago...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about today.
Well, the injury is very scary. Like, there's so much risk involved in that injury. But at the same time... And I don't know how well he'd pair with Ayton.
Right.
That's really the biggest question, which is also kind of a similar question of, like, trading for Anthony Davis. Unless you traded Ayton.
Oh, is he available?
Very.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Very.
No, I'm kidding. I knew that. Just for the record. So, can you answer the question?
Would I trade for Kristaps Porzingis?
Today.
Today?
Today.
If all I had to trade was Josh Jackson,
and... Well, that's not possible.
Well, no, like, I'm just saying, he was traded for the 10th pick in the same draft, plus a bunch of cap filler. Honestly, the biggest problem would be taking on the other money. I don't think I'd want to take on the other money.
Okay. And I only bring that up because you said you brought that up.
But, I mean, I think they may... Actually, Kristaps had a pretty good outside game.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's pretty limber for a five. He could play the four pretty well, I think. So that would be an interesting combo, the 4-5, for those two guys.
I've never heard somebody speak for, like, 2 minutes and without answering my question.
Would I trade for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't feel the commitment there. I didn't feel it. Like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Well, because the other thing you're looking at is he's going in restricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to sign him this summer. Or, but again, if with the amount that you're giving up for him, you know, it's not, like, what Dallas gave up for him was not much at all. It was a guy they didn't want, and it was three guys they didn't want.
Right. You're right. No, that's fair.
Like, that trade did not, the outgoing stuff
for them did not hurt them. So let's do it like this. If it was the Suns with the same type of analysis.
It'd be Tyson Chandler, Trevor Ariza, and Josh Jackson is the equivalent trade.
That's fair. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's a flyer. Again, the hard part would be taking back the Tim Hardaway deal, taking back the, what was the other one?
I totally forgot too. Okay, that guy.
Whatever, yeah, he's unimportant, but it's still money, and it's long-term deals, which is not really the position the Suns want to be in.
Which is a fair point there, too. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
We're coming to the point in the program now where you're going to convince me, Paul. You ready to do this?
Yes.
Where you're going to convince me that the Suns should trade DeAndre Ayton to get...
Anthony Davis.
Go.
Okay. So, I was thinking about this.
I hope so.
Yes. And my thought process is... It's 100% a push all your chips in the middle play. Because it's risky because he's...
Which makes sense for a team that's has the worst record in the NBA to do.
Yeah, exactly. It does.
I was being facetious, but go
I'm
on.
Not. Because you get Anthony Davis, you pair him with Devin Booker, that really does change the outlook for the Suns. And I was, trade machine-wise, I was like, okay, Ayton, Jackson, Warren. That, and probably our pick. Mm-hmm. But I would, top 1% to protect the pick.
Okay.
So you still have the shot at getting Zion as well. But more so... It's, I think putting Devin Booker and Anthony Davis as a recruiting package, theoretically, because we have all this dead money that's coming off the books, we would still have pretty close to the availability to get a third max slot in there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have some other players coming available who could fit into that rather nicely, and players who want to change a narrative, who would like to bring a championship to a place that has never had one, players who maybe don't want the media of the biggest media capital in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's an option, there's a possibility there of like, okay, you have two pieces. Like the concern right now is we have one piece, we have Booker. We hope we have another piece in Ayton. You know?
Who's 20.
Who's 20. Who's...
And 7 years of control.
Yeah, 7 years of control. But we know what Anthony Davis is.
Mm-hmm.
We know he is, in some case, in some people's opinion, the best player in the NBA right now.
Okay.
I will take the risk on a year and a half of the best player in the NBA.
To potentially mortgage the next decade of the team?
Yeah. Because it gives you the possibility of you get that third guy in, then you're set for the next decade. Because if you were able to attract that third guy in free agency, Davis would be stupid not to re-sign. And then you've got your team.
But is that third guy going to come to this team without somebody who, no point guard? You're saying, who would you say to trade? TJ Warren?
TJ Warren, Josh Jackson, and Ayton. And the pick.
So you get those three guys.
Yeah.
Let's just assume you get those three
guys. Yeah.
Then the rest of your starting lineup is made up of Mikal Bridges?
Well, I'm saying that the guy... Theoretically, that I would be like, oh, make this attractive would be Kevin Durant.
Yes. So you got. Thank you, Paul.
Yes. Because I had alluded to it earlier. But yes, the point guard thing is still an issue, but you get those three guys in there, you're going to be able to. Well, one, between Booker and Durant, both of those guys can facilitate. Two, you still have the potentiality of a D'Anthony Melton or an Elie Okobo turning into something. Three, you will have... You're now an attractive destination for players who... Like, older players who, you know, could run a show but aren't, you know, commanding, like, massive contracts anymore.
So, but...
You still don't have a point guard, but you have three guys.
Like, what would you... Let me ask you this. If you had to put odds on it, if that trade happened, what odds would you give the Suns to actually land Kevin Durant then?
I mean, they would be able to get in the room, I guarantee you that.
Oh, great. They got in the room with LeBron.
No, like legitimately get in the room. They got in the room LeBron.
What are the
They didn't actually get in the room with LeBron. They got in the room with Rich Paul.
Right, okay, fair. What are the odds you would give? That's my question.
I mean, please, 25%?
20?
I said it's a huge gamble. It's not like none of this is guaranteed. But, I mean, you're looking at a guy who's still with the Warriors, can re-sign with them for the most money.
Can go to New York.
Could go to New York, who also would have a max cap slot. But he'd be going into that with massive risk because he doesn't know what else is going to show up. You know, even if it's him and Kyrie, they don't know what the rest of that team looks like. The Suns are sitting on a team of Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, and we still have Mikal Bridges surrounding that. We still have Kelly Oubre. We still have a handful of useful guys, complimentary guys who can fill out that roster. Yes, we're still missing a point guard, but I think we'd be okay. I think Kevin Durant Devin Booker and Anthony Davis can survive without a true point guard.
I just think that if you put those three guys, let me step back. I think if you put Booker and Anthony Davis together, without any guarantee that Anthony Davis is sticking around,
right?
That 25% is, that's the best. I would say the odds that Durant comes to the Suns would still be far less. And not to change the whole podcast of optimism thing, I see where you're going, and I will admit this. You've convinced me more than I thought you would, but I am still nowhere near thinking that would be a good move.
Well, the Suns, we can't stop thinking, waiting for the perfect move. We just can't. I mean, you're looking at in just the last couple years, Paul George, or Oklahoma City took a flyer to take Paul George. And instead of him bolting after a year to LA, he re-signed for 3 years.
Right, and they're a very solid middle-of-the-pack
team. A very solid middle-of-the-pack team. They're like second in the fucking league.
Okay, they're a very solid second
in the league team. They're like the only team that could actually give the Warriors a shot.
Okay.
In the league. Okay. Well, actually, maybe not. The Toronto arguably could. But then again, are we really going there with the Toronto Raptors? But actually, the Toronto Raptors are another argument for this. They took a flyer on Kawhi. They gave up a lot for Kawhi. And he may not stay. But you got to take that shot. You got to take that risk. You know?
Yeah, that team was a lot closer than the Suns are.
Yes, they were. Yes, that I 100% admit that. But at the same time, you bring in experience that can turn around a team really, really quickly.
Or it can put us back where we are for the next decade. I think, you have to admit, there's a much higher likelihood that it puts us back where we are for the next decade than it is that we end up winning a title with that move. Well, you have to. You said there's a 25% chance that Kevin Durant comes if that happens.
Right.
So, statistically, you're saying there's a 75% chance we get fucked.
Yes. Okay. But at the same time...
I don't mean to kill your
hopes. I'm saying we have to take a risk.
Whoa, calm down.
I'm just saying.
I'm so like, happy I'm sitting on the other side of the room right now. I feel like you're getting a little fiery. Like that one time I thought you were going to punch me.
I'm getting sick of Suns fans going, always finding an excuse to shoot down whenever somebody comes available. Oh, there's not enough time left on his contract. Oh, he doesn't fit in exactly how we need him.
Don't want to give up the number one draft pick we just took who could become a generational player.
For a generational player.
That might be here for a year and a half. Less than a year and a half.
Right. I get that. But at the same time, we have yet to see one of those guys then bolt again. Like, somebody's been traded, you know, depending on the situation. I mean, yes, it could happen because the Suns have had shitty luck. They have a shitty owner. You know, there's a lot.
How dare you?
There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk there. But at the same time, you know, putting Ayton on the table would get us in the room. Because, like, everybody talks about, like, the play, you know, like, who has the best package of who they could offer. The Suns are not included in that conversation because, which is interesting because they're like, they just assume Ayton's not on the table. But they keep throwing Tatum in there from Boston. So I'm like,
I would rather have Ayton than Tatum. As a Suns, point being that if I had Tatum on this team, I would put him on the table too for that. But I wouldn't put Ayton on the table.
I would. And that's just, I would consider it heavily. I mean, I could be talked out of it, yes. But at the same time,
that's not the point of this. You're supposed to talk me into it, not talk yourself out of it.
I'm not talking myself out of it. I'm just saying that it was something, like, it's a very bold move.
Oh, that's fair. I'll say that.
It's a very bold move, and I think the Suns need to make a very bold move. And rather than constantly finding a reason not to do something, we need to just do something. I mean, yes, if it backfires, we're fucked. It sucks. But if it doesn't backfire, because, I mean, that's literally what the Knicks just did. They, like, they traded their franchise piece for shit.
Yeah, but their franchise piece, who has an injury that's kept him out for an extended period of time.
He's ready to play. They don't want him to play because they're tanking.
Is that true?
Yes. That's part of the reason he's discontented, is he wants to play and they're not letting him. And he's like, I don't like being around losing. Okay. Even though, so, but still, that was their guy. That was their franchise piece. And they traded him to clear cap space for a risk that they can get two new guys in the building. At least in this scenario, you're bringing in a top five player into your building.
But you have to take into account the fact that we're talking about New York and Phoenix.
Right.
New York can be as shitty as it could ever possibly be, but it can still attract players because it's New York.
Outside of Carmelo, who have they attracted?
No, I'm saying they could.
What's their history of attracting players?
Everything else even.
Would you go to New York or Phoenix?
Right.
Everything else even, I go to New York, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it makes 100% sense from... I mean, there was this talk in the past couple years that size of market didn't matter anymore just because the internet is the internet and you can be famous anywhere. But it's proven false.
Those guys don't need the internet.
Well, I'm just saying, like, the argument was Kevin Durant. Is like, he is still one of the most... he was one of the most popular players in the NBA, and he was in fucking Oklahoma City. Like, the worst television market in all the... actually, maybe second. I don't know where San Antonio falls in there. But one of the worst television markets in the NBA, and he was the number two marquee star in the league. So, and Kevin Love was a similar example up in Minnesota, even though they weren't even winning. But from that standpoint, there was an argument that market didn't really matter anymore, but in recent years that has shifted because market still does matter. And those, but I mean, Kevin Durant has said on record he likes Phoenix as a city.
I'm sure a lot of guys have. I'm sure a lot of those guys have homes out here.
So, I mean, it's not like the physical location isn't attractive and you're still relatively close to Los Angeles. So you can still leech onto some of that activity as well. But what I was getting back to was from the standpoint of maintaining Anthony Davis, if you can get him in your building, I don't trust that the Lakers will be able to maintain cap space to sign him into 2020 if they don't trade for him now.
Okay.
So if that's where he wants to go, and then it's not available anymore, you have a better chance of keeping him, especially if you've had a year under your belt where he has, one, gotten used to the system, learned to play with Devin Booker, become comfortable with, hopefully, a winning situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously, if the Suns still suck, we're fucked. But it's a if you bring him in, you pair two guys who are really good, and arguably with the open cap space during the summer, you're able to attract that third guy. Then you have that cornerstone. That's the point of it. And then you attract that third guy, and then it makes it harder to re-sign for Anthony Davis to walk away from that. That's the point.
And I'll say this: if it happened, I wouldn't be like up in arms,
right?
But I don't like it. If that makes sense.
You don't like it till he resigns.
But I will also say this about the whole New York comparison there.
Mm.
Porzingis, okay, I get your point that he was their cornerstone. They also had zero direction. And I feel like the Suns have a good young core. Ayton was the, well, maybe not the capper of that core, because we might get another capper of the core. Maybe we'll have two caps to the court during this draft. And I mean, it seems foolhardy to a certain extent. I think if you're going to sit back and you're going to weigh it between where your likelihood of success is, I feel like the likelihood of success drops significantly if you make that move. I'm not saying that Ayton, Booker, and whoever they get, whether it be Zion or
Ja Morant,
or whoever, some other guy that just pops out of nowhere. I'm not saying that that's going to necessarily result in great success. I hope that it does, but I think it gives you a higher likelihood of it if you stick to what's been going on as opposed to mortgaging the next 7 years hoping that that type of move works out. Let's move on because, wow.
Dude, have we gone long?
We're going long. We haven't even talked about the Anthony Davis situation and what could actually possibly happen.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Anthony Davis. Have we been talking about him yet? Have we mentioned him?
A little bit.
So he's on the block, and there's serious rumbles about him going to the Lakers.
Right.
And Lonzo Ball being involved in that trade.
Right.
And Lonzo Ball.
Not wanting to go to
New Orleans. Or his camp, if you will.
I think he'd actually fit really well in New Orleans.
Doesn't want to go to New Orleans. And wants to go to a team without an established point guard.
Right.
Do we know a team like that?
No. Not really.
Okay, well, move on. You know,
our plethora of point guards.
We have so many, we're established, like, collectively.
Collectively,
we've established a lot of them. So, the rumbling's been that it's possible that
there's Ball ends up here.
Mutual interest. It has been reported.
So, I don't know what we'd ship out.
What do you think about? Let's not worry about those details.
Details, schmetails. If we could ship, I mean, not that I'd want to lose him because I actually am enjoying his play this year, but it's been reported that Sarver isn't a huge fan of T.J. Warren and wants him gone. Actually, part of the reason that
McDonough
was let go. Mm-hmm. So if that's the move, like he'd be a piece that would fit and help New Orleans pretty well. But honestly, I'm kind of surprised that Lonzo's camp is like, I don't want to go to New Orleans. I think he'd fit in really well there.
Okay.
I think in Gentry's offense would unleash him.
Okay.
In the way he plays and playing alongside Drew Holiday, who's more of a combo guard than a true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work really well, but I mean, that's his choice. He doesn't want, or that's his position is he doesn't want to go to New Orleans. I'm not the biggest fan of Lonzo Ball. I don't think he's really shown a lot of improvement year over year. Granted, I don't know how much of that is LeBron. And just LeBron plays better with more established players who kind of know their game. He can elevate that more than he can elevate young guys who are still trying to figure stuff out. Particularly when Lonzo is kind of made slightly irrelevant.
Right.
Next to a 6'9", 260-pound point guard. And if Lonzo can't shoot, which is, that's a rather big issue. On my list, like, there are so many people who are still so high on Lonzo Ball. I've never been high on him. Like, I didn't want, if the Suns had the number 2 pick, I didn't want the Suns to draft him. I think that was on record.
I'm sure it was.
He was not my preferred pick. And he hasn't shown me enough in the sophomore season to show that he's overcoming, or he's working to correct his weaknesses. Kind of like Josh Jackson. But,
well, we all know Josh Jackson doesn't play basketball till after January.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's got to turn a new year.
Let's wait. Let's wait and see who he does the rest of the year.
He's like a werewolf of the NBA season. It's like when the full moon comes out.
He's like Teen Wolf in the actual movie, where in like the basketball, not quite that good because that guy was ridiculous. But
yeah, he was also 5'2".
Right, but hairy. So
yes, But and then there's the LeVar thing.
Yeah, which, that, like,
that's my biggest
problem with it is LeVar Ball. Because, you know, he's been quiet this year, but it's because LeBron.
It's just building up.
Absolutely.
It's just building up. And when you put him in an organization with not a strong culture, he's going to run roughshod.
Although I feel like Robert Sarver might know some guys that would, like, take him out. Like, literally take him out. Like, LeVar Ball just shows up, like, one day, like, you know, two broken legs, what have you.
I'd be very scared of LeVar Ball coming in and somehow poisoning...
Yeah.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, that would be my biggest problem with it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if we had to give up TJ Warren to get Lonzo Ball, and I'm not super high on Ball, but he's better than what we have now. I think he makes the team better. I mean, I think if you take out TJ Warren, put Lonzo Ball in, the team's better.
Right.
Put aside the fact he can't shoot.
But he can at least run an offense.
He can run an offense.
He can get guys the ball.
He can pass the ball. And you know, frankly, maybe that kind of change of environment is what he would need.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have that bright spotlight of L.A. He's not sitting there being like, I want to show LeBron that I can do what I can do. Because I feel like him and Booker could probably play well next to each other.
Right. And Lonzo's pretty decent on defense, too. So.
And to his credit, he is by far, out of that family, the one with the most level head. Which is kind of ironic, considering he's the one with the most talent.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, LeVar would be the biggest problem for me. There are a lot of people in sports that I don't like. I'll even go as far as saying there are a lot of people in sports I hate.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be right at the top of the list. I would say...
Like two?
Yes, right behind who, Paul?
Who do you hate most?
Oh, come on, dude. You've known him for 20 years. You got to know this shit. Who do I hate most in sports?
Manu Ginobili?
Okay, he's three. But Ginobili's not one. Okay, actually, well, I'll say this. I'll say Ginobili and Bruce Bowen would be tied for two, so I'll call LeVar Ball four then.
We haven't talked about him today.
Same? No, we haven't. Same sport. Same league.
Oh, LeBron James.
No. Well, I definitely hate LeVar Ball more than LeBron James. You hear that, LeBron? You're welcome. Maybe not necessarily a player... Not Pop.
No.
Maybe somebody who has some, at some point in his life, control over the league?
Oh, David Stern.
David Stern, the devil himself. That is the man. Okay. So
I completely forgot about David Stern. He's just, I've watched my...
Oh, I will never forget about David Stern.
Well, I mean, I...
Never.
Never.
So, okay. I have a gut feeling that the Suns are going to come out of this trade deadline with Lonzo Ball. I do. I mean, I think that's the most likely of scenarios. If they come out with anybody in the trade deadline. Anybody of substance.
Well, I mean, there's a strong possibility that, like, realistically, like, leverage-wise, the Pelicans should wait till the summer.
Yeah, well, I agree.
I mean... You get Boston on the table. You get a bunch of other teams who, like, just because of the way contracts are structured and whatnot, things become available.
You're right there?
Sorry.
Sleepy?
A little sleepy. I've been traveling.
Maybe we should start doing this in the morning.
No.
Like the solar panel guys. Just wake up at, like, 6.
6 on a Saturday?
Hammer it out.
No, because that would, like, ruin our day because we wouldn't actually do it till, like, 11.
Fair point. So, all right. Well, let's wrap it up then because we've run a little long. You know,
I'd prefer Jrue Holiday.
I knew. I was just going to say, I'm like, and to wrap it up, we both want Jrue Holiday instead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if
end of episode.
If the Pelicans do get rid of Davis, they might as well have a fire sale.
Right. And yeah. At that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think you could get him for some realistic assets like the Milwaukee pick. TJ Warren and Josh Jackson would probably do it. If the money works. Yeah. I think you may need to throw in Dragon Bender.
Yeah,
to
make he, the money he's work. What? He's what? Like, he makes 20 something, right?
25.
Not quite as much as
Book, not a full but, max, yeah. But.
Okay. So, anyway. And Dragon Bender, like, he had those three games where he, like, broke out a little bit, 3-4 games. And then last game, he played 3 minutes. I've given up on figuring it out. So, all right. So, We covered football. We covered
basketball.
Basketball. And that's it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Two sports.
Two sports on a podcast is only supposed to be about one sport.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
We're just picking it up. So
next week, 2.5 sports.
Yeah, we'll talk about
ping pong.
Oh, I was
because it's not really a sport. Or is it?
I mean,
not
we can debate this.
Connect four.
Yeah, my kids play that game.
Apparently, Rajon Rondo's excellent.
My younger one hasn't quite figured it all out yet. She's like, mind. I win. I'm like, no.
We've got one.
She's like, there's four. I'm like, no, but they're different colors. Never mind. Moving on. All right. So, any last thoughts, Paul? No?
The next week's going to be interesting. We may actually go 3 weeks in a row because the trade deadline's coming up.
Or we might just wait till like summer when the next flurry of stuff happens.
No. Yeah. I hope. We're not going to pod again till Summer League. Which we have yet to pod at Summer League.
We should do that one time. There's a lot to deal with in Vegas, like gambling and being hungover, so it's difficult.
Your time is full.
Your time. Whoa, what was that? Whoa. Sorry, we're watching basketball as we're doing this. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll wrap it up. As we always say here, thank you very much for listening. We truly appreciate it, even though we're number 7 in the podcast power rankings. Moving on up, though.
Number 7.
Better than a blank at 7 and we're at 8.
Our goal is to be 6.5 by the end of the season.
6.5. And we round up, then it's 6. Or down, whatever you say there. So, all right. And so, hit us up on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at So Says Jay, Paul.
Dervish of Whirl.
And the pod is at FanTheFlamesNBA. And until next time, depending on when you're listening, have yourself a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
Bye-bye.